Thank you for joining us. We pray that as you listen today, that you are encouraged and inspired. And we would love for you to connect with us on social media. Now here's today's message.
But there are two declarations that I'm going to say today. And as I prayed and as I studied, these declarations came to me as I read this text in 2 Kings 4. Now both of these declarations, I'm going to be honest with you. Everybody, this is not for everybody. It can be for anybody and it can be for everybody. But I don't want you to stand up and say, yeah, that's mine, or write it down or put a hand in the air and say, praise God, I receive that, unless you really mean it. Because when God drops a word or a revelation into your life, it is not all up to God. When God drops a word or deposits something into our life, church, then we kick into gear. And it's going to take not just words of faith, but steps of faith. And sometimes hands of faith. And it's going to take us building. And so the last few sessions, we have broken down the phrase, we are building something. I don't want to take too long to rehash that. But we're meaning we are. Who is we? We is God and us. It is Him and us. Together with God, we are building something here. If God is not in it, we don't want to build it. It's not worth building. Building means that not only are we building, but we are putting together something on the foundation of who Jesus is. Psalm 127, unless the Lord builds a house, the work of the builders is wasted. Matthew 16, verse 18, Jesus said, on this rock, on the revelation of who Jesus is, I will build my church. Church is not a building, it's not an institution, it's not a denomination. Church, praise God, is the people of God. You are the church, praise God. I am the church. The Bible literally calls us the temple of the Holy Spirit. Cruz Ramirez, I love this quote. There are many things that Jesus is blessing, but there is only one thing that Jesus is building, and that building is the church. Something means an exceptional person or thing with great value. The something that God is building here, God is building people, God is building kingdom, God is building culture, and God is building future. And then we left off last week in 1 Chronicles chapter 29 when David was making a great speech to all of the nation of Israel. And this is what he said in 29 verse 1. He said, this is not just a place for people to meet each other, but this is a house for God to meet us. I hope that as you came in today, you smiled at the greeters. They're working hard to set a tone for you as you walk in. I hope that you shook an usher's hand. I hope that maybe you fist bumped or hugged somebody and greeted them as they sat down next to you, or encouraged them that, hey, today's going to be a great day in the house of God. But I've got news for you. If none of you showed up today, I was going to show up. And if you didn't meet me here and I didn't meet you here, God was going to meet me here. And so this is not a place for us to trade phone numbers, not a place for us to build a multi-market level scheme. This is a place for us to meet Jehovah God of the Old Testament and Jesus of the New Testament. This is a place for us to be exposed to the Spirit of God that can and will change everything. David goes on to say, because my heart is in this. That was our altar response last week. Is your heart in building something that will outlive you? Building something that is eternal. And then David turns to them and he says, after all I've given, how about you? Who among you is ready to join in the giving? This is not a spectator church like a lot of churches. This is not a place for us to count heads, count offerings, and turn you loose. This is not a place for you to come sing three songs, hear 3 points, and leave. This is a place for you to join in what God is doing. This is a place for God to build in you, but for you to in turn help God build in someone else. This is not for you to watch somebody else do it. This is a place for you to say, hey, if you're working and you're involved, I'm going to help you do what God has called us to do. There is no one that joins a team saying, I hope I get to be the last man or the last woman on the bench. When God calls you to the game, He says, put on a uniform, because I'm going to activate you and I need you to get up and do something. This is for everybody that sits on a pew on Sundays and watches this team lead and watches that guy run a camera and watches that girl run sound and watches somebody else watch your kids. This is a call for you for the rest of 2024 to get off the bench and get in the game. This is a call to you to say, hey, we are building something, and the last I checked, you are a part of that we. You are a part of that we. Every once in a while, very, very irregularly, I get to go to a church where I don't have to do nothing. Two things happen. David, it's hard for me to go to a place that I don't have a say in what's happening. So it's hard for me to sit on my hands and watch somebody else do something a different way. And I might think my way is better, but just because it's different doesn't mean that my way is better than theirs. But what I've learned to do is I've matured in those instances and rare occasions where I get to go to a conference or I get to go to a church service where no one knows my name and I don't have to hold a microphone. I love the fact that I get to sit there and receive and receive and receive. But here's the thing, church. If you are a mature Christian, you know how to run a camera and receive at the same time. You know how to lead worship and worship at the same time. You know how to preach the word and receive the word at the same time. For you to have to sit there and say, well, I just need to receive today and I can't be bothered with greeting or with teaching kids or running the nursery. What you're saying is you're a baby Christian and you're still on the milk. Thank you for letting us know so that we can pour into you and pull you up to where you need to be. But I'm talking to some full grown adults in the house today. I was going to say something else. I'm talking to some full grown adults in the room today that God has saved you, that God has cleaned you up, that God has transformed you, that God has taken you out of the miry clay, put your feet on a rock, and he did not do that so you could put a couple social media posts talking about, look at what the Lord has done. Because he might have cleaned me up, but I still will get dirty in the trenches to make sure that somebody gets the opportunity that I got to receive Jesus. We are building something here. Genesis chapter 28, verse 16. We finally get to the word here. Here is not here. Here is not 13285, Interstate 35 North, San Antonio, Texas, 78233. Here is here. See, I'm glad that God doesn't just work here. Let me help somebody. If you only expect God to work here, then this is the only place that God is going to move. And this is where you have relegated God. This is the only place you can speak to me. This is the only place that you can lay your hands on me. This is the only way, the place that you can transform me. But when I say, God, we're building something here, I'm saying, God, I'm creating room in my life for you to have your way anywhere, any place, at any time. God, I want you here. We're building something here. Well, don't you care about Living Way and all that God's doing in the local church? Of course I do. But here's the great thing about here is I'm always where God is and God is always where I am. And so when we all show up here, God is here. But if we all meet at Peter Piper Pizza, God will be there. If we all meet at HEB in aisle 6, God will be there. If we all meet in the waiting room of a loved one that the doctors have given up on, guess what? God will be there. If we all go to support somebody in the courtroom because they're about to be locked up 25 to life, God will be there. I don't want God to just do something here. I want God to do something here. Because he will be wherever we need him to be. Genesis chapter 28, verse 16. Jacob awoke. This is when Jacob had the dream of the ladder and the angels descending and ascending. The Bible says that Jacob awoke from his sleep and listen to what he said. He said, surely the Lord is in this place and I wasn't even aware of it. This is the Jacob from the title, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and this is someone that knew of God. This is someone that knew what God looked like, what God sounded like, how his presence felt. However, he was not used to feeling his presence out there. He was used to feeling his presence in here. I don't want to jump ahead in my notes, but church, we have to be able to recognize God's presence, not only here, but we need to be able to do it there. And he's sleeping out in the middle of the wilderness with a rock for his pillow. And he has this heavenly dream. And he wakes up from the dream and he said, I was unaware that God was in this place. Can I encourage you? And it will change the way you act, talk, walk, and live when you understand the same worship God you worship here is at your house. The same God you worship here, it not only follows you to your car, it follows you to your job, it follows you to wherever you are. And that should scare some of you with the way that you've been living. But for the righteous, that excites us because we realize God's miraculous power, God's overwhelming presence is not just a Sunday 11 to 12:30 thing. It is an everyday thing for the rest of my life. Where he is, I am, and where I am, he is. I realize that God is here. Let's go to 2 Kings chapter 4. One day Elisha went to the town of Shunem. A wealthy woman. Somebody say a wealthy woman. That means she had a lot of stuff, y'all. She had a lot of money to buy that stuff. She lived there, and she urged Elisha, come into my home for a meal. After that, whenever he passed that way, he would stop there for something to eat. The first thing we have to dissect from this text is when Elisha shows up, salvation shows up, because Elisha's name literally means God, our salvation. Salvation showed up to Shunem, but I love this woman because this woman said, salvation showing up in a general place is one thing, but she said, I want salvation in my home. Can I encourage somebody today? I'm glad that Jesus showed up in San Antonio. I'm glad that Jesus showed up at Living Way Church. I'm glad that Jesus showed up on aisle 2 at row 4. I'm glad that Jesus showed up in worship. I'm glad that he will show up in the altar service. But I'm like the wealthy woman in 2 Kings 4. I love that you're in my city. I love that you go to my church. But God, I want you in my house. I'm talking to somebody today that you are ready for God to go home with you today. I'm looking for somebody that says, I love Sunday morning church, but I want a little of that presence of God on a Monday afternoon, a Tuesday morning, or in the middle of the night on Thursday. I'm going to create a place for God to show up. She began to make meals and tell Elisha, come on into my house. Whenever you're in town, this is a place you can come to. This is a place that you can rest. This is a place that you can put your feet up. One day, Elisha, God of our foundation, walked into Shunem, getting ready to give you the first declaration that I talked about. Elisha means double portion. Somebody say double portion. Somebody say double for your trouble. Double portion doesn't mean just double stuff. It means double anointing. If I'm doubly anointed, that means my purpose has doubled because I need a double anointing to do what God has placed in front of me. Can I encourage some mature Christians today that some of the greatest things that God is going to do in your life in 2024 is not stuff. She had stuff. She was wealthy. She had money. But can I just put it out there for somebody to reach out and grab today that the greatest thing God does in your life for the next 10 and a half months is God's going to double your anointing for the assignment that he has placed in front of you. Some of you have shook your head coming into 2024, and I believe this so strong, that you could not get what God called you to do done last year. And here's the reason. God gave you an assignment that your anointing was not ready for. But here you are today, and with arms uplifted, you're saying, God, give me double of your anointing so I can do what you've called me to do. Somebody say double for my trouble. So the God of salvation, the double portion man Elisha, the double anointed man Elisha, the double miracle man Elisha, he has showed up to Shunem. Guess what Shunem means? Double resting place. Here's the word. Can I declare over somebody today? And if you are that somebody, I would jump up and reach and grab this when I say it. There is somebody here and some families. You are getting ready to step into a season of double in your life. Double anointing, double favor, double miracles, double purpose, praise God, double assignment, double rest. It is for you. Yesterday's not going to do it today. Last year's not going to do it today. God said, I've got an assignment with your name on it, but you are going to have double to get the job done. So today starts a season of double. Double. About 100 of you stood up and grabbed that word. That's good. Here's what it's going to take. Are you ready to double your devotion time? Are you ready to double your worship? Are you ready to double your service to God? Are you ready to have that Jacob anointing that says, God, I'm not leaving this place until you change me, until you touch me. Change the way I walk. Change the way I talk. Change who I am. Give me a new name. I'll give you double when you give me double. God said, no, 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 I'll give you double when you give me double. All the double portion people say amen in the house today. Praise God. The God of salvation, the double portion man, the double anointed man shows up in the double city of rest. The double city of rest. I used to hate it when I was a little boy. And my mom would say, time to go to bed. You've got a big day ahead of you. Mom, how big can the day be for a six-year-old? We doing 3 plus 3. We playing on the playground. We going to lunch. But can I tell somebody in the spirit, get your rest. You've got a big day ahead of you. Let me say it like this. Get your rest. You've got big destiny in front of you. Get your rest. The assignment. Oh, you've never had an assignment like God has laid in front of you. Get your rest. I'm double anointed. I'm in the city of double rest. And when I wake up, you know, every day when you swing your legs out from the bed and you put your feet on the ground, it should send shivers down the devil's spine. There should be a warning in hell. She's up. Get ready. He's up. Get ready. They've got that look in their eyes that looks like they're all about the assignment. But this time it's different. This time that they're walking with some purpose that I've never seen. This time that anointing is thick on them. It's dripping off of them. Can I encourage you? Get your rest. Get your rest. You've got a big day. A big day ahead of you. Not just double favor, but double anointing, double joy. Joy unspeakable, that's double joy. Double peace, that's peace that surpasses understanding and comprehension. Double purpose. Double your assignment. Here's a good one. Double your productivity. This Shunammite woman, she recognized, I'm in the city of double. The prophet, that's a double anointed man. I'm going to make space. And here's what I love. It's not about the man. It's about the God that the man follows and serves. She said, I want that in my house. The woman had a lot of stuff. But she was missing something. For those of you that know this story, she had a lot of stuff and she had enough money that she added on. And I love this because I've always missed this in this text until I began to prepare for this series. But what I've always missed in this text is that she built another room. But the Bible says she built another floor. She went up on the roof. She had enough money where she said, let's turn this two-story into a three-story. I'm creating Not just any place. I'm creating a brand new place that has never existed before for God to abide in. See, here's where the old brand would have told you to make room. And I do want you to make room for what God is doing. But could it be if you expect God to do a new thing, then you need to create a new room and a new place for God to do a new thing. Don't just shove out the old treadmill. Don't just shove out the old Bowflex. Come on now. Say, what's a Bowflex? Bowflex was the Peloton bike of 1988. That Bowflex was a better clothes rack than it was workout machine. But a lot of us, well, let's clean some place out and do that. Create space for God. But if you want God to truly do something new and truly do something big, you must create a new place for him. She had a lot of stuff, but she was missing one piece. A lot of money, a lot of stuff, but she was barren. She could not have a son. We find that out when we fast forward a few verses. We'll get there probably next week. But she had everything that that one could have, but she could not have children. Can I preach about the missing piece for a minute? I want to encourage somebody in the room or online today that the devil has lied to you. The devil has told you that you cannot have it all. And some of us have bought into that lie. But can I tell you, when Jesus paid it all, he paid it all. Not only for your eternity, but for your now and your temporal. You have given up. Somebody in this room has given up on that one thing. You have looked at what you do have, and you've been guilt tripped into forgetting about that one thing because you don't want to be greedy. But I have come today to breathe life back into that dream of yours. I have come to speak life back into that vision. I know that there are some people that say, no, you can't have it all. Oh, yes, you can have it all because Jesus paid it all. I want to encourage you, you can have that thing that you forgot about. You can have that thing that somebody took from you. You can have that. There's somebody in here that you've gone through some bad relationships and now you're saying, well, maybe it's just my lot in life. I've got a great job. I'm making good money and I've got great friends and family, but I'm never going to find that significant other. I've got a good church family and I'm accomplished and I'm successful, but maybe there's that one thing. And you've had people in your life to tell you, your life is so good, you can't have it all. But I'm here to tell you in 2024, that the season of double portion, here's the next season of declaration. So that I want somebody to receive that one thing that you've been praying for the past years or decades or months. That one thing that you've said, well, I guess that's never going to happen. I have come to resurrect that vision and tell you not only is it possible, but it is going to happen. Why? Because we are building something here. And when we build something for God to abide in, God is going to show up and do what only he can do. Jesus brought the dead to life, opened blinded eyes, let the deaf hear, made the mute speak. He delivered the evil spirits and demon-possessed people. He fed people, 5,000 in one case of only men, 4,000 in another case. That means in two meals, God fed somewhere between 30 and 40,000 people by just multiplying what was given to him. Jesus created gold coins in fishes' mouths to pay someone's taxes. Jesus went to the cross so that you and I could be saved. In just the last 60 seconds, I've told you every conceivable type of miracle. He even put together marriages when he told the Samaritan woman, you've been married 5 times and you're not even married to the man you live with now. He said, I'm going to fix all of that. So when someone tells you that God can't or that God won't, do not let them place their boundaries on God in your life that they have placed on God in their life. You might say he doesn't heal, but that might be for you. But I know my God heals. You might say that God doesn't care about prosperity, but the Bible says, and God will supply all of my needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. If you want to live broke, that's for you. That's not my promise. When we build a place, when we build a place for God, the God of the New Testament shows up. And church, that God will do anything and everything. Luke 15, and I don't have time to go there in the scripture, but I'll tell you the highlights. There's three parables that Jesus shares, and I'm going to close with this. He talks about the lost sheep. He talks about the lost coin, and he talks about the lost son. We call him the prodigal son, and he is the prodigal. He is away from his father. But the Bible calls him the lost son. In one story, there's 100 sheep. 99 are in the fold, safe, warm, under the direction and protection of the shepherd. But as the shepherd does his count, he realizes that one out of the 100 is not there. Here's what the world would have you do. You've got 99. Don't worry about the one. It's dangerous to go out after at night, after dark, to search for that one. There's wolves, there's bears, there's lions. But the people that are usually saying that have never been a shepherd. And the people that are saying that, I promise you, have never been the one lost. Because there's a lamb in that moment saying, I hope that shepherd loves me as much as he loves the 99. And just like Jesus went and he found us, I want to encourage somebody today. There might be a missing piece in your life, and like the Shunammite woman, you might be wealthy and have a lot of stuff, but there might be that one thing that has evaded and eluded you all of your life. And I am here to tell you that this is the season where that last piece of your life falls into place. Bible says that the shepherd goes out, finds the one, puts him on his shoulders, and takes him back to the fold. The second story is about the woman with the 10 pieces of silver, 10 coins, and she loses one coin and she has 9 coins. But the Bible doesn't say she forgets about that coin. The Bible says she sweeps her house, she moves furniture around, and she diligently seeks until she finds the coin. And when she finds the coin, she calls all of her friends and neighbors. And I think a little of that is to rub it in. Hey, remember when you told me to forget about it? I still had 90%. I've come to tell you that I worked a little and I got the 10%. I got everything that was coming to me. The first story is about 1%. Second story is about 10%. Third story is about 50%. Now it's not 99 sheep. We're not talking about animals. Now it's not 9 coins. We're not talking about money. Now we're talking about people. 2 sons. One takes his inheritance before his father dies, which is a slap in the face. He goes and spends it on riotous living. When you actually study out how he spent it on women and alcohol. How many of you know all of his friends helped him spend it on women and alcohol? But when he ran out, he wasn't able to sleep on their couch. They weren't helping him. He ends up in the pig pen. The father loves both sons, but the father is always every day looking for the one to come home. He had a son to carry on his name, but he was looking for the one. Can I encourage you? Never let someone guilt you into looking for the missing piece of your life. Stand on your feet. There are people in this room today, you have been guilt-tripped about spending too much time at church. You've been mocked because you missed somebody. You missed a 5-year-old's birthday party because they wanted to have it on a Sunday at 11. You've got 168 hours in the week. Have that kid's party on a Saturday at 2 o'clock like the rest of us do. They guilt trip you. You give too much to that church. You go to church too much. You serve at that church too much. Y'all think you're better than everybody. All of those things have been said and thrown in your face. What they don't realize is you are either looking for the missing piece or you found the missing piece in your life and you owe it all to Jesus. And so you think in your head, you weren't there searching for the coin. You weren't there searching for my son. You weren't there when I was the lost sheep. And here's what I want to say. God bless you, Dina. Altars are open, but I got one more thing I want to share with you about the missing piece. When we say the lost sheep, the lost coin, the lost son, lost doesn't mean it doesn't exist. Lost simply means you don't know where it is. So that means what you're missing today, church, it's not that it doesn't exist. You just don't know where it is. That missing piece exists. But just because you don't know where it is, don't write it off. Because God knows where it is. And let me bring it home a little closer. Jesus is that missing piece. And the closer you get to Him, the more you will find those things that you've always been missing in your life. These two ladies have been with this word every step of the way. They've been back there pumping their fists, raising their hands, standing up, saying, "This is mine." First two in the altar before the altar even opened. But I feel that there's another 3, 4, 5, 6 dozen people in this room that you are ready, like the Shunammite woman, to say, "Hey, I've got a lot of stuff in my life, but there's some things that I'm missing." Or maybe we can rewind 6 or 8 minutes ago, and you're saying, "Hey, that double portion, I believe that that word was from me, because the Spirit of God began to poke at my spirit and tap me on the shoulder and say, hey, that word, that's not from Brandon. That word's straight from heaven to you. That word is straight from the throne room, straight from the mouth of God into your ears. Double portion, double assignment, double anointing, double purpose." Those are the two declarations that God gave me in my office and study while I was dissecting all of this, and I had all of my notes done and I was running back through. God said, "No, there's two distinct declarations that you need to present for the church this Sunday, and these are the two that somebody is entering a double portion season in their life, and that somebody that has been missing a piece or pieces that God is going to show you. God is going to show you." So how does this relate to we're building something here? She was missing something in her life. Fast forward the story a little bit. We're going to preach it in full detail next week. Fast forward the story a little bit. The Shunammite woman never brings up the fact that she's missing a son, that she's barren, that she's unable to have. She never brings that up. She just makes a space, makes a place. She had already moved past that point. She just said, "I want the presence of God." Can I encourage you in this room and in this altar, from side to side there, stretched out here, that I want you to focus in on Jesus right here, right now. Don't focus on the double portion. Don't focus on the assignment. Don't let your mind wander to the missing things or piece in your life. I want you to focus in on Jesus.